this. I had this. Jesus is all my world. He's my life, my joy, and he's my all. He is my strength. From day to day, without him, I would fall. When I'm sad, I go to him. No one else can cheer me so. When I'm sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. And it just these are quotes I over my time as a follower of Christ I wrote in one of my Bibles and says, "Let me come closer to thee, Jesus. Oh, closer every day. Let me lean harder on thee, Jesus. Yes, harder all the way." And it is, I just always think about, when I think about the Old Testament, and I think about in the beginning there was darkness, and then there was light. And the path of righteousness is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. That's Proverbs 4:18. And I think about how Jesus is the light of the world. And I think about how we are called to be the light in this dark world, to let his light shine in us and through us, that we should not be afraid what's happening, we should be excited. That we shouldn't be doubting, is God in control or not in control? He allows things to happen. He helps us to, he's the one who prunes us so that we become, trims us. You ever see a light, you know, and you want to trim it so it'll actually become brighter? He wants us to be brighter. He wants us, and so I was thinking about the lampstand. You know, the lampstand in the Old Testament, in Leviticus 24, it talks about how the lampstand and the showbread, and how the lampstand, you think in the holy place, it was dark. Four layers of hides, so it was very dark. And yet the light shone brightly in there, so the priests could actually see what was happening. And also in there was the showbread. And the showbread represents Christ. And then you read Leviticus 24, you must go there, and talks about how the showbread, I think without knowing the Old Testament, we cannot understand the New Testament. And so a lot of, because the Old Testament talks about Christ, about him coming. And so if we don't have a good understanding of the Old Testament, then it's hard for us to understand the New Testament, or the new covenant that we have with Christ. And so we look at that. We get to, I'm going to read from my other Bible. So Leviticus 24 says, "And the Lord said to Moses, command the Israelites that they bring pure oil from beaten olives and from the light of the golden lampstand to cause the lamp to burn continually." And I think about how it's God that gives us oil every day. You know, when I think about canola oil or canola, you crush the seeds and makes oil. And sometimes we go through different pressures and God pressures us, but we don't collapse, but he strengthens us when we go through different pressures. And he's producing in us, he's refining us so that our lamps will bright, we would actually shine brighter, if that makes sense. He wants to let us shine brighter in this day that we live in. It's only through pressures of this world that we actually learn who we really trust in, depend on, and really do trust. Because if I trust in myself, I'm just going to fall. I can't trust in myself. That's kind of depressing. But if I trust in the Lord Jesus, he's the one that upholds me. And so, and he talks about how it causes the lamp to burn continually. So Christ is, the Holy Spirit lives within us. He helps us to burn continually. And we He refreshes us daily. And so outside the veil of the testimony, in the tent of meeting, Aaron shall keep in order from evening to morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. You should keep the lamps in order upon the lampstand of pure gold before the Lord continually. And shall make the fine flour, this is talking about the showbread, make 12 cakes with it. 2 tenths of the ephah shall be in each cake. And you shall set them up into 2 rows, 6 in a row, so 6 upon each other, upon the table of pure gold before the Lord. You shall put pure frankincense beside each row, and it may be with the bread as a memorial proportion offering to the Lord. I think about the incense. It was beside the bread, and the priest would put it on the altar. And the incense represents the prayers. And Revelation talks about our prayers are like incense unto God. It talks about twice in Revelation how it's incense unto God. So our prayers and our worship are incense in the presence of God. So the most holy place is where God is, his presence. When we come into there, do we come and worship him? Is he the one that we worship daily? So the lampstand is the word of God. Do we saturate in the word of God? I know sometimes we slide a little bit. We don't. But the lampstand is the word of God. The table of showbread is the communion. The showbread is we commune with God daily. So there's represents Christ in the Old Testament, even back in Leviticus, even in Genesis, all the way through the Bible, it points to Christ and how much we need him. The altar of incense, prayer. How's your prayer life? How's my prayer life? So in Acts 2, 42, and it talks about how the church gets together daily to break bread, to remember Christ. In verse 46, it talks about how they gave what they have to help one another in Christ. So in the Old Testament, showbread is placed on the tabernacle, provides a wonderful picture of Jesus, the bread of life. So Jesus is the bread of life. He's the only one that satisfies us. Or should be the only one satisfying us. Jesus is holy before God. He provides true substance. And he's always present. So what's Matthew 5, 6? Matthew 5, 6. You want to read it? Yeah.
Blessed are they which to hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Thank you. So do we hunger and thirst for righteousness? For they shall be satisfied. Do we hunger and thirst for Christ? Do we desire? Because if we don't crave the Lord, we will not be satisfied. That's what Scripture says. So if we're not satisfied, perhaps we're not seeking the Lord as we ought to seek him. Because the Scripture says that if you seek him and desire him, if you thirst for righteousness, only Christ is righteous. Our righteousness comes from Christ. It doesn't come from me. It doesn't come from you. It is imparted to us by Christ, who is righteousness. And in that, we will be satisfied in all the things of this world. Things of this world will not satisfy us, but actually we'll be dissatisfied with what the things of this world actually provides. The world provides us hopelessness. It doesn't make us satisfied. It doesn't give us what our heart's desire is. And as believers in Christ, our desire should be Christ himself. So John 6:27. Should have had my free voice. What's John 6:27? Or anybody else who wants to read John 6:27? Yep. So we should desire the food, spiritual food. Just feed the spiritual man. The Word of God is the spiritual food that we need so that we will be satisfied. In John 8:12. If you read that if you want. Jesus said, once more Jesus addressed the crowd, he said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not be walking in darkness. He will not walk in darkness. But we'll have the light, which is life. It's amazing how before we came to Christ, we walked in darkness. With Christ, we walk in light. And he reveals things in our path so we don't stumble, that we don't fall. In verse 20, chapter 12, 46, John 12:46. Jesus says, I come as the light into the world. Yes. So whoever believes in me, so cleaves and trusts in the Lord. May not continue to live in darkness. I know last week when Hugo talked about it, he shared about how the truth really sets us free. And what do we do behind the scenes? When nobody else is around. What do we do when nobody else is around? So Jesus declares that he's the bread of life, John 8:48. And so John 8:48. The Jews answered him, are we not right when saying you are a Samaritan and that you have a demon? The power, not that right one. No. No. But Jesus is the bread of life. He's the one that satisfies us. I don't know why I put down John 8:48. Maybe 47. Oh. Brain fog. That's okay. But if he's the bread of life and he satisfies us, because you're going to be taking communion. And we take communion to be reminded of Christ and of what he has done and is continuing to do it in our own lives. And sometimes when we take communion, we think, I'm not good enough. Or I shouldn't be taking communion. But if you're a child of God, why do we take communion? That would be a question. Why do we take communion? We're reminding ourselves that we were sinners before Christ. That I've been purchased by the blood of Christ. That that I was brought out of this world into great relationship with Christ. That I don't have to live as I used to live before I knew Christ. I remind myself that it's a commandment that Jesus said, eat of this bread and drink of this cup, to be reminding ourselves what we've been purchased from and how we are been brought into a new purpose, a new life, and how we should live. And to live differently. And to live that we don't have holiness. Christ gives us holiness. He gives us his righteousness. So we remind ourselves every day when we break bread, is we remind ourselves how God purchased us and how we live for him. And that when we go to the cross and ask, repent of our ways, he freely forgives us. And the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. So we can't say that I'm disqualified for how I was before Christ. But I am redeemed because of Christ. And so when we think about the blood of Christ, how he cleanses us, and how he purifies us every day, and sometimes we have to remember what Scripture says and not go by feelings. Sometimes in history, religion tells us that people seek to earn their own way to heaven. When we take communion, we are reminded that it's only through Christ that we receive eternal life. No matter how good I think I need to be, what things I need to do, I can't earn salvation. Because even God has put desire in our hearts for eternity. Romans 3:23 talks about we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So when we're taking the communion, we remind ourselves that we all have fallen short and that Christ died for us and that he's the one who purchased us. That our sins deserve death, Romans 6:23. So there's no one righteous in himself, Romans 3:10. So our dilemma is, he alone is God. He's the only one that can save us. For our sake, he made himself to be sin, for who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. So when Christ died on the cross, he took our sins of mankind upon himself to meet atonement for them. So when we take communion, we're reminding ourselves that we've been atoned. When we repent and confess with our mouths and place our faith in him, our sins are imputed to Jesus. It's been put onto Christ. And his righteousness imputed to us. Jesus makes us holy and righteous to be in right standing. And then when we take communion, we remind ourselves that we are the bride of Christ. And that we are adopted as a child of God. What's Revelation 1, 5-6? Must have been up fireworks last night. Revelation 1, chapter 1, verse 5 says, From Jesus Christ, a faithful and trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead, the first to be brought back to life, the prince, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who ever lives, loves us, and has for once and for all loosened and freed us from our sins by his own blood, and formed in us into a kingdom of royal priests, his whole priest to his God and Father. To him be glory and the power of majesty and dominion throughout the ages and forever and ever. When we come to be a child of God, now we have become redeemed, became a priesthood. And so you look back to Leviticus, both the showbread and the wine, who were the ones lifting up or doing this? Who was in the most holy places? The priests. So now we're priests. Lifting up and praising God daily. So that's reminding ourselves of who we are in Christ. I think of G24. One chapter or one book back. And to him who is able to keep you without stumbling or slipping or failing, and to present you unblemished before the presence of his glory in triumph, joy, and execute with unspeakable and ecstatic delight. So Jesus presents you before the Father with no blemish, even though at times we feel like you don't deserve it. Jesus is presenting you before the Father with great joy. He's presenting you right now. And we're like, man, I don't feel holy. I don't think I deserve this. But remind ourselves that when I come to Christ and say, Lord, I have blown it today. Lord, I have done things I regret. So, Lord, I ask for your forgiveness. Christ stands before the Father. He presents you holy and blameless. No matter what you've done, no matter what you're thinking, God can transform your hearts and give us pure thoughts to help us to be the men and women that he's called us to be. In presenting and praising God as priest, as a child of God, as the bride of Christ. And it's all because of what he's done and what he's still doing in our lives. In Luke, finish these things. Luke 22. And he said to them, I have earnestly and intensely desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall not eat no more until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And Jesus took the cup, verse 17, and we had given thanks. So this cup he was taking was the cup of sanctification. Christ sanctifies us. So when we take communion, we're reminding that Christ sanctifies us. And when he had given thanks, he'd taken and divided and distributed among the people there, 120 in the upper room. He gave it out. For I say to you, from now on, I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Then he took a loaf of bread, which he had given thanks, and he broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then in like manner, he took the cup after supper. And that's the cup of redemption. And so when we take communion, we're reminding that we have been redeemed. This four cups. And so the third cup, when we take communion, we remind ourselves that we've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. saying this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed and poured out for you. In 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians. 11:23. For I received from the Lord himself, which I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was treacherously delivered up, and while his betrayer was in progress, took bread. And he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take it, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this to call me affectionately to remember." So when we're taking the bread, we're going to be remembering able to have this out. I would say Malcolm, but who wants a handle to get the top? So when we hold on to the bread, we have matzah, we would see how it's pierced and striped. It's reminding us that Christ was whipped 39 times. And as we take the bread, Jesus says, you know, this is how he satisfies us. I hope today that Christ satisfies you. My prayer is that the world does not satisfy you. Because in Revelation, it talks about don't lose your first love. Let Christ be your first love. And as we take the bread and we're reminding ourselves, we're proclaiming, and we do this until Christ comes back. And we don't know the day or the hour when Christ comes back. And as the Proverbs of the talks about the virgin with the lamps, pray that our lamp is continually filled. So we don't drift away, walk away from the Lord because of what we may be going through. That we would be minded to go to him every day, to be satisfied in him, and to desire him, and to eat, and to be filled by his word that would only satisfy us. So whoever eats, verse 27, whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord, here's a warning before we take the communion bread. Communion does not save you. By taking communion, it doesn't save you. Only Jesus Christ saves you. If you're a non-believer, you don't take the communion cup or eat the bread. Because it's only for the believer. And as a bride of Christ, when we take this in Jewish tradition, when the wife was going to give or the woman was going to give to the man, they had communion together, and that signified marriage. So when we actually take communion, we remind ourselves that we are the bride of Christ, that I'm married to the Lord, that I belong to him. So whoever takes this cup and this bread in a way that is unworthy of him will be guilty of profaning and sinning against the body of and body of the Lord, and the body of the blood of the Lord. Let a man thoroughly examine himself, and only when he has done this, he may eat the bread and drink of the cup. So if we're not right with somebody, pray that we would take it, not in an unworthy manner, but we're reminded that this is something sacred. Father, I just pray that before we take the bread, Lord, that you would search our hearts. And Lord, that you would reveal things. If we're taking this in an unworthy manner, Father, I pray that we would repent of whatever you point out to us. And Lord, as we take this bread, we are reminding of what you have, how you satisfy us, how you fill us, how you give us a deeper desire for you. I just be by prayer today, Lord, as we eat and commune with you daily, Lord, that our desire for you would grow and grow every single day. Lord, that we would desire to just eat at your table. And Lord, to know you more deeply. Lord, as we eat this bread, I thank you that you satisfy us. And after the meal, after the Seder, Jesus took this cup and he reminded them, this cup is my blood poured out for you. It cleanses us from all sin. And it's actually a time of rejoicing. You're praising the Lord for what he has accomplished. It's not a sorrowful time. It's a time of rejoicing. Saying that, thank you, Lord, that you have purchased me. You have redeemed me. You have made me a child of God. That I'm an ambassador. I'm a priest now. I get to be with you and I get to be in your presence daily. It's not a sorrowful time when we take communion. It's a reminder that we've been purchased. We have a new covenant with God. That we have free access to the Father through Christ. It should be a time of overflowing with joy. That we remember that we've been redeemed. We're no longer in the dark, but we're in the light. He is the light that lives within us. We have the Holy Spirit. And so as we go out today, we will be reminded that he has a plan and a purpose for us. That we've been purchased and we get to share the truth of the gospel to others who do not know him. What a privilege to share who Christ is to others. So Lord, I thank you for this blood. Thank you that you have redeemed us. I thank you for the new covenant. I thank you, Lord, that you intercede for us daily. Thank you, Lord, that you live within us. And as we take this cup, Lord, let us be praising you and lift up our prayers with thankfulness. Comes up, Lord, we pray. Father, we thank you that you are thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the one who quickens us and reminds us of you. So, Lord, I just pray that our thoughts would be more on you, more and more every day, and less of things of this world. And, Lord, as your word says in Philippians 2, 4, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Having this attitude in yourselves, which is also the attitude of Christ. So Lord, I pray that we have a more of attitude for others. and to be a light in this world, to share the truth of the gospel to the people who do not know you are perishing. Lord, let us have boldness to speak the truth. Lord, let us have boldness and dependence on you more and more all the time. In Jesus' name.
There is much to celebrate, and so I needed that today. Anybody else needed that word today? All right. We'll finish off with one more song. But if the Holy Spirit is talking to you and he's just downloading, feel free to just absorb it, write it down, pray, whatever. But I mean, the rest, come on and sing along. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Yeah, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You'd let down your life. That I would be set free. Jesus, I thank you for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Yeah, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You'd lay down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you'd lay down your life, that you would set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You'd lay down your life, that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Amen. Well, everyone have a wonderful rest of the long holiday. God bless your steps. May he may